This episode has been brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.
Welcome back to another episode of The Last Storm. My name is Mark, and I'm here with Dave, and we're back to talk about Game 1 and look forward to Game 2.
Yeah, man, after this Game 1, I'm pretty stoked about the season. We have a lot to look forward to. I understand how people are like, oh, there it is. You know, this is the proof that we're in another rebuilding year. And I have learned to redefine what rebuilding is and what it means to me because of this. And it's really interesting to me because I'm excited about this. I understand that we just got beat by 21 last night. But to me, it doesn't really matter about the score. It's the baseline that we set for this team for the rest of the season that makes me excited.
Yeah, I think I loved what Lou Dort said when he was asked about the game going into it. They asked him what his job was to do. He said, we're going to go out and play hard. We're going to give it our all. And he really wanted to set the tempo in the first 5 minutes and show everybody what he expects from this team and what he expects from himself. And we saw that. You know, look, the Jazz are at this stage where they're in a win now mode and they're going all in on this team right now. They've got to figure out how to win. So it's not really apples to apples. And I'm okay with that. You know, SGA, I would say, had kind of a slow night, and that's okay, too. Josh Giddey didn't really do a lot of scoring, but he showed a lot of playmaking ability. But I know in the end, he's going to be a legit scorer. He's going to demand a lot of attention. But at this stage, you know, that's something that's secondary in his game. So we're just watching this whole thing unfold, and we couldn't be more excited because in the end, when you get it to watch a team like this develop right in front of you, you know that the players that you're watching now are going to be there for a long, long time. You know, when the original Thunder team came around, Jeff Green was one of those guys we watched grow up, and then they traded him away. And that was really the exception. You know, everybody remembers Harden, but Jeff Green was one of those guys that we saw that too. So, you know, while it may seem like a lot of these guys aren't going to be around, the truth is most of the people that we're watching are going to be around, and more than not will be around, and we'll be able to count the guys that aren't from the future really probably with one hand.
I mean, you got a really good point right there. This is the foundation blocks of our team, and I know that there's a lot of people in Oklahoma City Thunder that are asking what's extraordinary about this team. Where's the foundation blocks to this team? And the thing is that not every foundation block looks like LeBron James or Allen Iverson or whatever else. You know, like, to me, every team and organization has to take their own way. So watching what Sam Presti has done to design this team to compete now and compete for many years to come is really exciting. I know this is not the perfect way, which people will say we need the perfect way in order for this team to compete. But the reality is that not every team is going to be a winnable game this year. The Jazz are one of the best in the West. You have Los Angeles Lakers, another best in the West. But after that, it slows down. And I think there's a lot of teams in there that are just unsure of themselves. They have all these other things. And I think it's really going to be crucial for the Thunder to jump on those guys. Yes, I understand that means that there's 4 to 6 teams in the NBA that I would consider much better than our team. But that's because our average age is the youngest team in the league. I think we're 23 and 15 days old. That's the average. So to me, like, this is a perfect example of where we're trying to go and where we're at. And just that young talent that we have is really critical. Looking at what Josh Giddey did last night, you know what? I get it. People are going to say he played 30 minutes and only scored 4 points. But it's learning how to impact the game that's incredibly hard to do in the NBA. Is we watch Russ a lot where he wouldn't score a lot of points, but he would have, you know, 15 assists or, you know, 16 assists and 12 rebounds. You can impact the game in so many different ways that it's really crucial to see Josh Giddey learning how to impact it in a night that he could not score and did not take a lot of shots.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about. We know that we're not going to win every game. We know that this is going to be up a hill battle for this year. But we know that these guys want to go out and compete and find ways to win. They're not going out there with the intention of doing anything other than exactly that. Compete as hard as they can and find ways to win games. And that's the process that we are excited about watching this team go through. Just because, in the end, that's what it's all about. Like, to me, Bazley, right? I talked about him last night, but his aggression and his ferociousness comes from being blocked and being frustrated and not being able to get it done because other teams were, other players were competing at a high level too. So he knows that if he goes half-assed to the basket, then he's going to get that shit blocked. So he goes angry, he goes mad, and he throws it down pissed off because if he doesn't, then Whiteside is going to throw it in his face and then yell at him. So that aggression is coming from failing, and that type of failure isn't necessarily a negative, right? Sam Presti says it all the time. Failure is the engine for improvement. So what we have to see is these guys go through the struggles, and I've said it for a while, like when Baisley gets his time, everybody's going to be freaking out. And I'm telling you, he's got a big time game, a 30 plus point game coming up very soon. And watching him, you know, celebrate with his teammates is going to be fucking awesome.
Yeah, man. And looking at what we've got going on with our rookies right now is really impressive. They combined for 23 points last night. Just a really great stat right there. It's really impressive to look at on our bench and see Jeremiah Robinson Earl, 10 points. And Trey Mann with 9 points. They led off of our bench. The top two scores off the bench was really great. And really, the way that they played, I mean, they're the third and fourth scorer on our team, top scorers on our team. So I'm just, again, I'm looking at this as a big positive. I know there's a lot of people that are going to be harsh, and, you know, that's just the way their mentality is. And I understand that there's people that are going to say that Mark and I are just too bullying and too much of assholes, and that's why they don't listen to us, and I get it. But our whole point of why we've been starting this whole podcast is because we do not like how the Oklahoma City Thunder media portrays the Oklahoma City Thunder. And that comes to a lot of the podcasting that's on, and that's why we're doing this, is we see the positivity in this team. Even when we get a loss, we don't sit there and mingle on the loss and saying, well, we need to do this to change it, we need to do this to change it, because that's the coach's job. That's the GM's job. That's not the podcaster's job. The podcaster's job is to try to tell you what's going on and explain to you guys how to look at this team, explain to you each individual person and why we're looking at the stats and this way or that way. And explaining how to look at the game is what we need to do. You guys aren't paying us to give our opinion about we need to trade Dort or trade this person or trade that person, because if we needed to trade that person, don't you think Sam Presti would have done it? And to me, this is why Mark and I are going to continue talking about these players, is because we look at Baisley as being a major foundation block, and he put up 15 points last night. He was big. Shea, 18 points last night, had a little bit of slow game as far as assists go, but I'm not worried about this. This is all starting off, and we're going to be able to use this to catapult to our next position. This is a great starting point. Playing the Jazz, followed by Houston, it really gives us a nice little area. Obviously, Houston looks good. And when I say Houston looks good, they look young. They have a lot of young pieces. They have Eric Gordon. They have Wood. They have Green. They have a young core that looks really good. Otto Porter Jr. They've got a team that could compete. Not necessarily a best team in the league. Not necessarily a team that's going to be out of a top five pick this year. But they will end up looking pretty good when push comes to shove, just because of the way that their style is. I'm not too worried about Houston, but I am excited about us playing against a team that in a way is similar to us. They have young talent. They've got a couple young, really good pieces and a couple veterans, and they're trying to put things together. They got a lot of draft capital, and they're just trying to figure out the pieces of where they go and when. So again, I'm really stoked about how this team is progressing. I know it's not the way that some people would want it, but we're not focusing on that. We're focusing on what this team is doing good right now, even when there's a 21-point loss.
Yeah, and also, you know, Josh Giddey was picked at number 6. Houston had the number 2 pick, and they went with Jalen Green. So we love that type of matchup. Both players played professionally, so this is their rookie season, but it's their second year playing pro. So it's going to be really exciting to watch. I'm a big-time fan of what Giddey's been doing. And, you know, I like Green in the draft process, but now that he's on Houston's team, you know, it's all about watching Giddey outperform him. So, you know, I know it's going to be a lot of ups and downs. It's not going to be like, you know, perfect or anything like that. But I think Houston is a totally winnable game. They're pissed off. They want to prove that last year was a fluke, and we want to prove that it wasn't. So we got to get after them. And I have a lot of confidence that these guys are going to do what they do. I mean, let's face it, Dort came in and he was keyed in and he was doing everything he usually does, but with a little bit more energy, a little bit more aggression, and it was really fun to watch. I'm excited about what Dort brings to the table. His shooting in the preseason was really awesome. So this guy's a big-time leader, and, you know, he's ready for a big-time contract.
Yeah, and you're silly if you don't think that Dort is going to be one of those players. I'm not trying to trash you for having a bad basketball intellect if you don't think that Dort is a foundation block. But if you look at the teams, you look at how the NBA talks about Dort, and you would be silly if you would ever think that Dort is not a foundation block. Because if there's a team, if there's a player that you need to take and listen to what they have to say, listen to LeBron talk about how Dort plays defense, and that's all you need to know. Dort is a master at defense, and LeBron James recognizes that and recognizes how young Dort is, and that's why he gets excited about that type of defense being in the NBA. Again, I'm excited about this. Dort is a foundation block. You have Favors, who's playing really, really well. He shot really, really bad last night, 2-for-7. But man, those are the shots that he hits, so I'm not worried about it. He's going to hit those shots, and he's going to end up having averaging close to a double-double all season for us, and I'm pretty stoked about that.
Yeah, absolutely, man. And, you know, you get to the bench, and we have a lot of excitement about that. Watching Coach Daigneault figure it out, it's going to be interesting. I think he really has about 12 people right now that are going to be getting playing time, if you count Ty Jerome. And we'll see what happens with that. There's going to be more, and there's going to be opportunities for everybody to get in there and show what they can do. But I love the way that he was utilizing our rookies, and he was getting after it with our youth. I mean, this is incredibly important for our development, but we want to do it in a way where we're competing to win right now. And that's what I love about getting to see like Trey Mann out there. You know, it wasn't all perfect, but he showed the effort, and he showed the ability to score, and he showed the defensive mindset that we need. And if you can give a player like that the opportunity to grow, then we're going to be better off in the long run.
Man, it's being patient. I understand that there's everybody that looks at how to develop a team quickly in their own opinion. But man, this is not a typical NBA team. Being patient is what we need to do. As a fan base, we have to sit back and let the chips fall as they're supposed to. And to me, man, this is a perfect opportunity for us fans to really fall in love with the team that's going to be in front of us for a long time. It doesn't mean that this team is going to be winning championships. Obviously, that takes a whole new caliber of team. But I do think that this team is going to be one of those teams that we're going to look back, and it's going to be fun to grow with them. It's going to be fun to develop with them. And when my kids are old enough, they're going to look back at these guys that are playing in 5, 7, 8 years as my boys are going to high school, and they're going to be looking back and being like, hey, Dad, like, you remember when these guys were drafted? Did you think they were going to be this good? And I'm excited about that. I'm excited about taking the passion and passing it on to my kids with basketball through this Thunder team that they're going to be able to watch in eight years. I know my daughter will be like 21, 22 years old when that happens, but we're talking about a generational team right here of us being able to watch, pass it on to our kids, and them fall in love with it as well. And that's why, to me, standing up for them, talking positive about them, talking about each and every one of these guys, and it doesn't matter, these second-year guys, these third-year guys, and these rookies. I mean, that's what we have on our team. We have Derek Favors, who's been in the league for a couple years, 10 years, I think, and Mike Muscala, who's been in for 6, 7 years. Everybody else is 3 or younger as far as years go. And that's exciting, man. That's really fun. I'm getting pretty stoked about this. And the way that we're playing as a team is exciting. The passing, the offensive rebounding, the defensive rebounding and pushing up the court, all these things that we liked last year that we're better at this year makes me really pumped.
And honestly, Coach Daigneault is a better coach this year. And that's going to be fun to watch his development too. His offensive system, his defensive intensity, everything is going to be a step up, and we're getting to watch it all happen, and it's never been more fun. I mean, the expectations aren't very high, but you know what I would say is the expectations for winning aren't high. The expectations for improvement are incredibly high, and we expect this team to get better, and we expect them to get to the point where they're, you know, like a baby learns how to crawl and walk and then run. You know, right now I feel like by the end of the season, we're going to see this team, you know, show some glimpses of what they're capable of doing when they go full speed. But it's going to be a process. Our goal is not to be peaking on day one. Our goal is to be peaking at the end of the season And watching us get to that point is going to be really exciting.
Yeah, man. It's the process, right? I mean, how many times have we talked about going on these fishing trips that you and I go on, and we talk about finding that perfect hole that takes a couple miles of walking, that takes a couple miles of climbing. But here's the thing, man. Like, this is that Thunder team. You know, they're designed to be that team that has multiple playmakers so that a guy has an off night. That's okay. We've got three other guys that are going to step up tonight. That's what makes me excited, man, is the stalking process of that hunt. You know, recognizing that you have a big fish on and you're just letting him go because you're letting him wear itself out so that you can bring him in easier. And this is the same situation we're in with this Oklahoma City Thunder team. We're watching them play. We're watching them develop. And we get an opportunity to see how they develop on a pretty much a daily basis because of how the games are this year. We have not many back-to-back games, but the thing is that we have a lot of games in a short amount of time. So, man, I'm just soaked. This is really a lot of fun, and I know that we sit here and we talk about this a lot, but to me, like, this is exactly why we get excited about being Thunder fans, is we get an opportunity to look at this team as is right now, and then we get to look in the future of this team, as in the future of the players that we currently have in those draft picks. As we get, you know, more and more draft picks coming in, you know, what's that going to look like? Because one time we could end up with a number one or number two pick in the draft from a team that just really did bad. Like, who knows? The Clippers could have Paul George go out, game number two. He goes out with a torn Achilles, and that's a season for them. And then they have nobody. They have nobody to step up and take that team to anything. So there's a top five pick right there for us. So, again, you know, yes, the team has Kawhi, but he's still a ways away from being healthy. So, to me, this is all we're looking at. We're taking this team, and we're trying to allow you guys to recognize is that we cheer for the players. Yes, the draft is important. But when you have 20 draft picks in the first round over the next 6 years, it's not as important as it was when all you're doing is waiting for your draft pick to turn into money. Because if that's all you're doing is waiting for your draft pick to turn into money, then, you know, that 20th pick isn't going to be enough. But now that we're waiting for all these other teams to turn in, you could take two 20th picks, right, and exchange them and move up into the teens. It happens all the time. And that's the thing that we're looking at, is that you can build this team through the draft and trading out, and it's exciting.
Yeah, it's going to take some time, but we're here for the process because we love what's going on, and we appreciate that you continue to join us because we know that you represent the fans who are excited about watching this team get better, and it's not going to happen overnight. Not everybody is up for it. A lot of people are disappointed. They want to win now, and I get that. But, you know, if we're going to win a championship, it's going to take this amount of time. So we're going to enjoy it, and we're going to watch the players like Josh Giddey, SGA, Dort, Bazley, and all the rookies that we have go out there and perform at a really high level. There are so many guys that are just young, and they're ready to prove themselves. And so watching that happen is just, you know, it's been a real fun process. So we hope that you continue to enjoy it and continue to join us. So thanks again, and we'll see you tomorrow. And this episode was brought to you by George Foreman's Knockout Pain Relief.